of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. So the righteous people think right things. That determines that. Why did God destroy the world in Noah's day? You say, well, people were wicked. Okay, right. Why were they wicked? Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and also verse 7. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's why they were wicked. They thought wicked things. So they were wicked people. Do right, think right, and you'll be right. Do right to think right. Determine to allow God to direct your life. And when you do that, you'll not only be thinking right things, as we talked about in a lesson not long ago, you'll do the next right thing as well. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says this, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. What's that saying? If you decide, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what, this day, whatever I'm going to face, whether it be situations with my fellow man, trying to work out this coronavirus business, or whatever it might be, I'm going to do what's right. And that's your thought and that's your commitment. Then your thoughts then will follow that. Now, that sounds really easy, doesn't it? I can tell you that it's not. I seldom sleep a night through. In fact, I can't remember the last time I did. I'm almost always up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I stay up, as I did most of last night. That's just a common thing for me. It's not that I'm worried. It's just that's just my sleep pattern. But I was so awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. And sure enough, what happens? Well, you get to thinking, right? And I've just discovered that, boy, Steve, you're going to have to work on your thought processes in the middle of the night so that you don't become anxious, so that you don't think in directions you ought not to think. And we'll talk about, in a moment, maybe a couple of secrets to being able to do that in a productive way and in a godly way. It's not really a secret. It's a known thing. But what I want to start with is this. We have to discipline our minds. It's not an easy thing to do, always to think the right thing. Minds have to be disciplined. Thinking right takes effort. It takes discipline. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. Thinking right is work. It's like, you know, the person who was wearing the robe in Jesus' day and he was going out to do work in the fields or whatever, he'd have to gird up that robe, gird up his loins so he could work. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So one of the keys to getting our mind right is to focus on the coming of the Christ, to think about that hope that we have, that we're aiming for, and keep our hearts and our sentiments there. And that helps us get our minds ready for what they need to think about, and then ourselves ready for what we need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, of course, says that we're able, through the power of Christ, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity. That takes effort. But it can be done. It can be done. We must discipline our minds. Worry cannot rule our thoughts. It must not. So I invite you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6. In this familiar passage, Jesus lays out, as he does so many times, so succinctly, one of the big secrets of living life successfully. When he says, I say to you, Matthew 6 and verse 25, I say to you, do not worry about your life. How simple. Do not worry about your life. Seems like that's all we're worried about, right? Don't worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor your body, what you'll put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? All of these things that Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Now listen to this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worry is bad thinking. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength and joy. Worry pretends to be necessary, and yet it serves no useful purpose. We compared it before to a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's worry. God's solution is found, of course, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, or one of the key solutions to it. We're talking about getting our thinking right. We're talking about avoiding doing away with worry in our lives. How can we do that? Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do I do at night when I'm lying awake and I begin to think about things that are troubling or making me anxious or make me get tense about what's going to happen the next day? I pray. I turn that over to God. I had a friend, he passed away this last year, Johnny Richardson, over in Russellville, Alabama. A wonderful gospel preacher for many, many years. And when I was sick a few years ago, he would call me. Apparently, he and I have the same sleeping patterns, because he would call me in the day sometime and he'd say, how you doing? I'd tell him how I was doing. He said, well, I didn't sleep too well last night. And I'd say, Johnny, I didn't either. He said, well, I prayed for you, brother. I prayed for you last night. And those kinds of things just meant the world to me, because I knew he was not worrying about me. He was praying for me. And I shouldn't have been, I didn't need to be worrying about myself either. It's such a simple thing. You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What's the trigger? What's the trigger that's going to help you remember to pray tonight or whenever it is that you're tempted to worry about something? What's the trigger? The trigger is you're tempted to worry. And as soon as that happens, turn it over to God in prayer. Be thankful. Thank Him for who He is, for what He's done for you and is doing for you. Be thankful for all He's done for you. And then turn whatever the concern is over to Him. And I guarantee He'll handle it way better than you can. Just let Him take it. Psalm 112 and verse 7 says that the righteous man will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. We must discipline our minds. We must refuse to allow the world to determine how we think. The world has such a way of getting into our thinking in our modern times, whether it's what's on the news, what's on your cell phone, what's on social media. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think, that's what's critical. The way you think. Don't be conformed to the world's way of thinking. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Their thinking's not right. That's the problem with the world. As we look around us today, obviously the hoarding of essential items reveals a selfishness in people and also an anxiety in them. That should not be present among Christians. We have a responsibility to provide for our own, and God helping, we can do that. We don't have to stoop to not loving our fellow man, not being concerned about others' welfare in order to do that. Our thinking and actions must be guided by God, not by the world. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. So mainly what we want to conclude with is let's focus on God and our relationship with Him. Let that be the overwhelming purpose of our lives and the thoughts that we dwell on the most deeply and meditatively. I want to read a couple of Psalms and then my favorite passage to you, and the lesson will be yours. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want you to know that the house of the Lord is not this building. The house of the Lord is the temple of His people that you're a part of. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. Psalm 9 and verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. The Lord is always there. And then Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. Trust God. Fill the void left when you cast out evil thinking and trouble. Fill it with good thoughts. Here's God's prescription for believers trapped in a world that is both spiritually and physically sickening. Paul gives it to us there in the book of Philippians. Think on these things. Think on things that are good and pure and true and holy and right and lovely. Find those things that elevate the mind, that coincide with your purposes as a Christian and the love of God. Hope and trust in Him. The battle for your soul is a battle largely of the mind, as we think we are. This morning, I hope that you're here. I'm pretty sure most all of you are, because you have a trust in God. You want to honor Him. There may be somebody here, though, that maybe that's not true of, that you're feeling a lot of anxiety, not only about the current present distress, but other things in your life, about life itself. God loves you. You can trust Him with all that you are, with your life here on earth and with your eternity. If there's one here this morning that would give themselves, their lives, to God, we'll help you. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.